With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Welcome back to Blue by 90, presented by Maize and Brew. I am Justin, joined by Jack and Kaylin, as always. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You know, some people would take the holiday off, but not us. We, you know, it's Ohio State week, so it's no days off right now, right, boys?
No days off, positive vibes only. And yeah, happy Turkey Day. I'm ready to get into a food coma by 2 p.m.
Yes, sir. Ready to chow down.
Yeah, it is Thanksgiving morning. We're coming at you 48 hours-ish before Michigan takes on Ohio State. But before we get to that, you know, we have to talk about some hoops here a little bit, which I don't know how excited a lot of people are to be talking hoops right now because of the way Michigan seems to be playing. But they did pull out a win last night against perennial powerhouse Tarleton State. So that was a tough one. But they haven't looked in sync. Right. They just haven't looked like they've been super smooth, you know? So I don't know. What have you guys been seeing from this, from the hoops team?
I mean, I don't want to slight Tarleton, Texas, you know, they're probably the best newcomer in the last 2 years, you know, in D1.
I agree.
They're ranked one of one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they look out of sync, man. I don't know. I was kind of talking with Aaron. He went to the game last night too. About my what if I were the head coach, what I would kind of do to the lineup and change up the starting five. But it's like Johns, man, he still doesn't have the confidence. You hear guys talking about it on the color commentary. Houston's on, but then Devontae Jones is off and he's not, doesn't seem to be playing great. I mean, if it wasn't for Eli Brooks and Caleb Houston, Michigan basketball,
even,
you know, might be 3-3.
Even Houston, though, I don't think has been playing super well.
He had a rough two-game stretch.
Yeah, Houston's been struggling too. I think he's just been struggling shooting, but they did start off the game shooting pretty dang well. There was a point, but the shooting wasn't the problem in the beginning of the game. It was turnovers. There was a point when they were 5 for 5 from the field, but had 9 turnovers. I mean, that stat is pretty unreal.
And I bet you can guess who was at least tied for the lead on turnovers in that game.
I'm going to guess Devontae Jones.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
And he, he didn't even score. He didn't even score last night.
Jeez.
He had five turnovers and 0 points.
You're Mr. Plus Minus, man. What do you have his plus minus?
I don't have his plus minus for the game, but for the season, it is updated. It's at it's 3. It's still positive. Brandon Johns is back in the negative. But I don't. It's just
it doesn't seem like he has the. He just doesn't have the smoothness to like command the team right now, you know, which is what they need. That's what Eli has. So I wonder if you need to run Eli at the point, because Devontae Jones, what I've seen from him is like, I feel that we were blessed with Mike Smith's ability to be the guy at, he was at Coastal Carolina. Or is that
Devontae Jones? Smith was at Columbia.
Columbia. Yes, you're right. So Mike Smith at Columbia was the guy scoring like 25 points a game, right? We were blessed with his ability to come to Michigan and not be the guy and make that transition really well. I don't think Devontae Jones has made that transition very well. He doesn't feel like he's commanding the offense very well, and he's not able to see the floor. He wants to go down to, you know, or drive the ball to make something happen, but he drives the ball, gets into trouble, and then, you know, throws it away usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does look panicked. And I mean, there were a lot of times yesterday that Michigan looked panicked against Tarleton State, whose biggest guy is like 6'7". You know, I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, how can we not get the ball into Hunter Dickinson? Like, that even Jones, it wasn't even just Jones, but everyone struggled to get the ball into our big men. And I was just so confused. You should be able to chuck it up to the ceiling, let it drop into Hunter Dickinson right under the hoop and let him dunk it.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the starting lineup's height for Texas or Tarleton, whatever their name is. It says Tarleton Texans on ESPN. You would imagine Dickinson would have a hell of a lot more than 9 points in that game.
It's crazy, man. I mean, it's like, it should have been a situation where it's like when the varsity team scrimmages the JV team and you just have bigger guys and you take over, but they could not get it going. And there were a lot of times too, where I thought guys had open looks, whether it was Brandon Johns on the 3-point line, even Caleb Houston on the 3-point line, or Hunter Dickinson and Diabate underneath. They had open looks at the basket, but chose to give it up and try and pass it to someone else, which didn't end up with a bucket. It ended up with a turnover a lot of the time. Sometimes it obviously ended up with a bucket, but it just felt like nobody wanted to be the guy and have that confidence and take over. I think that's where we're at with this team right now is they have all the pieces, right? They have like a bunch of guys that are there. Nobody wants to be that guy. And I, you know, if Hunter Dickinson's not that guy, I don't know who needs to be that guy. It kind of seems like Diabate does want to be that guy. But I, you know, Houston doesn't want to be that guy right now. And we were hoping that he would be, right?
I don't know if I can agree with you on that one, man. I mean, I thought at first you were talking about just post players and I kind of agreed with you, but I think Caleb's that guy and I think Eli's that guy. No question. I think even T-Will wants to be in that conversation. I agree with the Diabate take. I mean, I feel like those guys, every time I've seen them play this year, they look confident and they look, you know, solid. They're making good decisions, taking good shots, passing the ball when they need to. So I think there's 4 guys that can do it. And we even saw it when Houston had those 2 bad games. He still shot the ball. You know, he still had the confidence to shoot the ball. You know, he wasn't hitting them. But he hit him last night. He was 2 of 5 from 3 and 4 from 7 overall. He had 14 points. And he was the second leading minute getter behind Brooks. Brooks had 40 and Houston had 37. So I disagree with you there. I think there's 4 guys that can definitely do it and want to do it. I just think there's, you know, it something's missing. It's weird. Like the vibe of the team just looks strange. Like they just haven't meshed yet. And I think they'll figure it out, but something's off. I just don't know. Can't figure out what it is.
Yeah, I just get the impression they're just not clicking quite well enough to move the ball around as needed. I did like seeing Frankie Collins in there though, like quite bit yesterday. And I thought actually he played pretty well. I mean, he missed a couple free throws, but overall I was pretty pleased with like the amount of time he played and how he played. So I feel like Juwan is trying a couple different things, right? Getting some guys in there for longer periods of time, getting the two big men on the floor at the same time. I think we'll see a lot more of that. But, you know, it's early in the season. I think they got more time to mesh as they play tougher.
I do want to ask you guys, too, now that you brought up the young guys, Kalen, based off of what we've seen right now, six games into the season, I'm curious to hear what your guys, what you would pick the starting five to be. Because I'm assuming it's not what we see on the floor. I know at least for me it's not.
Yeah, it would not be for me as well. I think you will see, and I think you should see Diabate substitute in for Brandon Johns on the starting five. I think Juwan wants to give Johns a chance because he's probably earned it in practice and over the years. He earns this chance, you know, more than just through three games or whatever, four games that they've been through. But I'd love to see Diabate. Diabate is just as athletic as Brandon Johns, not quite as strong, but has a lot more talent on the offensive side of the ball. And then right now, I just don't know if Devontae Jones can run the point for us. I'm sorry. So, you know, I would like to see probably either Frankie Collins or, you know, Kobe Bufkin or somebody, whether or Zeb Jackson. I don't know. You know, Zeb Jackson isn't 100%. I understand that. So one of those young guys either has to come in to run the point with Eli at the guard position, or Eli runs the point and you bring in one of those guys at the guard position. So, you know, I don't know. It's not he needs to change something up, I think, just for like a spark, right? Yeah. Whether he wants to run with it or not, you know, for a long period of time, I think he needs to change something for a spark.
Kalen, what do you got for the starting five?
It's actually a funny take because it's like Juwan needs to find his JJ, right?
yeah, you're probably not wrong.
But yeah, no, I honestly kind of thought we saw our best starting five last night when Diabate, Dickinson, Eli Brooks, Frankie Collins, and Caleb Houston were all on the floor at one time. I think that's kind of what we should roll with based on what I see right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked that we all kind of think the same thing because I'm right there with you guys. But even like if let's say Eli Brooks does run the point, I feel like Devontae Jones is just he's a scorer, right? Or he wants to be a scorer. That's the feeling that I get. And maybe put him at the two and let Eli run point or make Devontae Jones, you know, one of the first guys off the bench and, you know, come in and if you need to get a bucket or something or have an aggressive defender, you know, whatever, it'll keep him out of foul trouble, hopefully. But I'd love to see that. I loved seeing Frankie on the court last night. I just love watching him play. That was so fun to see that lineup in there. Even when they put T-Will in there too, that was just an exciting, like fun, you know, fun time to watch that game.
Yeah. Frankie and Bufkin, man, they can fly. Those guys are athletic as hell. It's pretty crazy because those guys are two of the smallest guys on the court. I mean, Bufkin looks like he's about 14, legitimately. Since he shaved his head, he looks so young.
What's Will Smith's son's name?
Yes, he does look like Jaden Smith.
Yeah, he looks like Jaden Smith with that.
That's a good call. but those dudes are like, they're going to be really, really good. And, you know, the one person that we haven't talked about really for this starting five is Terrence Williams. Do you guys think he has a chance to crack that top five?
I would say no, just because, you know, it's like, who are you going to take out? Like, how would you fit him in there? I think he and for me, ideally, from what we've seen so far, I think he and Devontae Jones would be a good option to be like first off the bench. Because I would like to see, I mean, Dickinson, obviously he's going to stay at the five. Houston will be at, Diabate will be at the four, then Houston at the three. And then Brooks is either running the one or two and you got Frankie or Bufkin, you know, running point, running the one. So I don't think he'll make it in there unless something changes drastically from the play of those other guys. But he's just such a solid six man. He's like our little Lou Will. I love it.
Yeah. T Will, Lou Will.
That's right. It's beautiful.
He's a bit of a tweener. That's the tough part, I think. Yeah. He's not going to be your big man, but he's not going to be your quick guy. So I think it could be a matchup situation. If we have somebody that he needs to lock down that's a little bit of a bigger guard, then maybe you throw him in. Because I'm interested to see how Houston plays down the stretch when you get into the Big Ten and there are bigger guys. You know, if he's a three, then he's going to go against some big dudes. You know what I mean? So, you know, if he stays with as a two, then you can be okay. But, hey, you know, the thing is that they're going to North Carolina next week. And
Monday, right?
Monday, they do not look ready to be playing in a Big Ten ACC challenge. So, you know, that's going to be on a national spotlight. And I think all of us were pretty, you know, a lot of people were annoyed that Michigan didn't play Duke in Krzyzewski's final season here. Mm. Probably for the best right now. I mean, North Carolina, I don't know, is far behind Duke, but yeah. You know, in terms of a national spotlight, they could have gotten embarrassed on national TV. So we'll see what they do going forward.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, you know, there is another big game this week. I don't know if you guys were aware.
The Egg Bowl tonight?
The Egg Bowl is tonight. The Lions and Bears. I mean, that's a big one.
That's what you're talking about.
I think most people are focused on that for sure.
I thought you were talking about my bowl of ice cream later on.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. There you go, too. Yeah. You have ice cream on Thanksgiving? Is that a weird thing?
I'm excited for this Thanksgiving dish draft we're going to have at the end of the episode to see what you guys come up with. But ice cream, it better be on your list, Kalen, if you're eating it tonight.
Yeah. I could see ice cream with some, like, apple crisp or something, some warm apple crisp.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
You can do that. All right. But, yes, there is a game on Saturday in Ann Arbor. Feels like this game, when it's meant something, has not been in Ann Arbor for a long time. And so I was around Chrysler in the big house last night for the game. Fox Big Noon kickoff already set up. College Game Day already set up. College Game Day is at Pioneer, which it usually is not. So yeah, that's going to be – they're usually like somewhere down on campus. So that's going to be interesting how that works. But there was – they had all the Barstool stands going.
Has Barstool announced where they're going yet?
I don't know where Barstool is, to be honest.
I feel like that kind of be a no-brainer to go to Michigan, Ohio State, or maybe they're just not doing a show this week. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe just because they've been there already, they're trying to get other schools involved. That might be it. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it feels like everybody's ready for this game. I know scrolling through Michigan Twitter, people are counting down to the minute here. I'm excited for you know, what's to come on Saturday. But what are your guys' feelings just, you know, going into this game? Are you excited, nervous, hopeful, doubtful? I know we're positive vibes only, but what are your gut feelings here heading into this game?
I tell you what, man, I've got a lot of excitement that's just been building throughout the week. I'm very hopeful. You know, it's not even like, how are you supposed to have fun if you're not going to be excited and optimistic and hopeful about your team playing the biggest rival with so much on the line? Like, if you're going to be a Debbie Downer this week, then you don't deserve to celebrate if Michigan does win. Like, I'm so excited for this game. I'm so excited for the tailgate. I think it's gonna be a great weekend. And I'm hoping for a Money Mooney game winner, man. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely excited, right? I mean, how can you not be excited for this game? There's, you know, championships on the line. There's playoffs on the line. Biggest rivalry, best rivalry. Like, it's no question. If you're not excited for this, what are you excited for? So, I mean, I'm just ready for it to be noon on Saturday so I can see the result of this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would be lying if I said I didn't have a little bit of reservation, right? Like a little bit of like, well, there's a decent chance that this game goes poorly, right? Jack's shaking his head right here. He's like, no, we can't have any of those thoughts in our head.
Got to manifest this victory.
I know. I'd be lying, though, if I said I didn't have it. But I will say, like you said, like, I've just gotten more and more hopeful. I've convinced myself in my head that we do have a chance to win this dang thing. And I'm just like, God, what's it going to take? I'm trying to think of, like, scenarios. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking of this scenario like, I've played this in my head 100 times already. We win the game. We storm the field. Then we go back out to the tailgate, playing Pump It Up all night long, crushing Trulies. I'm just like, I've built that image into my head. And if it happens, oh, my God, legitimately probably the best day of my life. Until I get married, then, you know, I think I have to say that. But
yeah, still smart
probably,
man.
Still probably this would be the actual best day of my life.
I mean, it's hard to beat a Michigan victory over Ohio State. You know, you're probably going to get married a few times in your lifetime. You know, we don't know how often this is going to happen. So we'll take it.
How many people have been married, divorced, married again since the last time Michigan beat Ohio State?
There's got to be plenty, I'm sure.
There's got to be a few out there.
That is the most amazing stat.
if you have, reach out to us. We want to talk to you. Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, I think that this, you know, the excitement, I'm excited about the buzz around the Big House, first and foremost. Like, it's going to be an environment. We've had good home games for every single game this year. And even though it's a noon game, even though it's going to be 30 degrees, I still think everyone's going to be just pumped. And, you know, we're going to tailgate hard early, but we're going to shut the tailgate down a little bit earlier than usual so we can get into the game too.
Yeah.
You know? And so the other thing that we haven't talked about, Poms are back, baby. Poms are back. Let's fucking go.
Was that first reported by Justin Rowe at Blue by 90?
It might have been. But, yeah, man, that's going to add a different element. So I think this crowd could add, could be a factor in the game. I really do. You know, whether you're wearing maize or blue or whatever, I get it. You probably don't have a maize coat. Do whatever you can to wear maize. But all I care about is standing up and being loud. Everyone's got to be up into it. If a single person tells me to sit down on Saturday, they're getting the haymaker to the face. I'm sorry about it.
I'm just ready to see fights break out in the stands.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's like going to be a good show out of Ohio State fans like there's been recently?
100%. Always is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm talking like where they're doing the OHIO and it's like I'm watching TV. It's basically a home game.
I don't think it'll be that bad because I think for the first time this game means something, you know, in Ann Arbor. So that's my hope at least. I still think they're going to show up because Ohio State fans are psychos and this is their, you know, the biggest day of the year for them too. But I think that my hope is that it's not nearly as bad. And, you know, my hope is that we get up early. And then, you know, Michigan fans can have the momentum the whole time.
That's what I hope for, man. But I'm with you. It's going to be electric. I've just from talking to people, you know, that are going to the game or tailgating, like, dude, we're going to have a shit ton of people at our tailgate this weekend.
Yeah. Yes, we actually are. So it's going to be a blast. And if you're out there, come stop by. We'll be in the Chrysler parking lot, which is the blue lot. If you go in off Stadium Boulevard, if you're turning into Chrysler, go to the right and we're back by the train tracks there. We'll have some Truly there for you. And honestly, we'll be there for the post game if things go well too. So come on out. We'll burn the city down for sure. But Well, I want to get into the game too. You know, I want to ask you guys, I feel like everyone's got their analysis about this game. Everyone knows Ohio State's got the best offense in the country. Michigan's defense is good. I wouldn't say they're, you know, phenomenal, but I think that it'll be one of the best defenses that Ohio State has seen. What is, you know, when we're looking at it from Ohio State's offense versus Michigan's defense, what are the big things that you guys are looking for to see if Michigan can stop them?
Well, I mean, I've already convinced myself that the only reason Ohio State scored on every drive in the first half against Michigan State is because Michigan State is awful on defense. So that has made me feel a little bit better about going into this game. And also the Pro Football Focus rankings coming out with saying Michigan has the second best secondary in all of college football makes me feel a hell of a lot better about this game as well. So that, I mean, the biggest thing I'm looking for is just how our DBs handle DBs and Daxton Hill handle Ohio State's 4 5-star receivers or however many they have that can just get open whenever they want. That's the biggest thing for me that I'm watching.
Yeah. I mean, here's the no-brainer that everyone talks about. Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo got to get pressure on C.J. Stroud, right? I mean, we've seen it when they played Nebraska. We saw it when they played Penn State. You know, and even early in the season, too, a little bit, right? When they played Oregon and Minnesota, you put a little pressure on him, he gets a little bit outside the pocket, and he rushes decisions. That's how you get him throwing interceptions, throwing not great passes and things like that. So I think we all know that one. But the other one I would say is trying to keep them between the 20s, right? And that's the tougher part, right? Because they're so explosive, they'll throw a 50-yard bomb and score a touchdown. But if you can keep them outside the red zone and kind of force them to kick field goals, now you kind of got a game, I feel like, for the Michigan offense to actually compete. Because, you know, we saw it when they played MSU, when they were just – or even Purdue, right? When they scored like 35 points, like right off the bat, it's hard to compete with that. So if you can reduce their, you know, how many points they're scoring at a time, and then we're such a run heavy team, I feel like that's how we have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, if you look at the Penn State and Nebraska games versus Ohio State, that was how you keep, it's crazy to think about, but that's how you keep them from 50 down to 30, right? Is you force them to kick field goals instead of scoring every time down the field. And so, you know, I'm sure it's easier said than done there. That's for sure. But if Mike McDonald can have this bend, but don't break defense, right, that we've all heard about and we've seen this year, all of a sudden that's a different game. If you're holding Ohio State to a few field goals, which by the way, their kicker is just as good as Moody. Unfortunately, I mean, Moody's the GOAT, obviously, but from a statistics standpoint, he is drilled. I think he's like Moody's 15 for 16 and their guy is like 16 for 17 or something like that. So they do have a really good kicker, but I still think, like, obviously you want to keep them out of the end zone. Now, one thing to look at for me is something that nobody's talked about really, but our linebacking crew. What we've done in the past is put slow linebackers on really fast receivers. And it's like, I want to bash my head against the wall because my grandma knows like that's not going to work out well, right? You know, but Don Brown's too stubborn to change. Now, I want to see Mike McDonald make some changes there. What I would be interested to see is, are Junior Colson and Nakai Heal Green going to get some more playing time than usual because he wants to keep them running with some of their faster receivers because Josh Ross can't keep up. So those guys, both those guys have come on really strong this year. So I'm excited about what they have for the future, but this could be a breakout game for those guys. I know Junior Colson's getting some NFL looks already as a freshman. So those dudes are going to be good, but you know, I would hate to see Josh Ross get caught up in some situations where he's, you know, running after a guy down the field, you know? So if Junior Colson and Nakai Hill Green are a better fit to stay with them, I would love to see them in there. So That's my little bit too. Now looking at it from the other side, Michigan's offense versus Ohio State's defense. What are you guys looking for to see if Michigan can be successful there too?
Honestly, I don't know dick about Ohio State's defense, so I'm not going to have maybe it's a good point. I have no clue. But I think something that I saw on Twitter, I can't remember who put it out. It sounds like they struggle with in between like 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. And that's kind of where Cade thrives. So if Cade can continue to do what he does with those medium distance passes, and then, you know, hopefully we can strike gold a couple times and get, you know, some guy wide open that he can let it go and have a big touchdown. That'd be my biggest thing. I think we'll be able to run the ball well because we've got Edwards, Corum, I'm assuming, is back. Haskins has been running the ball really well recently. I mean, all season. So if we can throw the ball and the offense can keep up with Ohio State and the Michigan's defense can, you know, hold them down a little bit, that would be my biggest thing on offense, seeing what Cade can do in the passing game.
Yeah, I feel like this is a tough kind of matchup to call on our offensive side because Ohio State's defense actually jacked their rush defense, they think is like top five or something like that. Oh. So that worries me a little bit because although the other top defense that we played against was Wisconsin earlier in the season, and we ran for like 115 yards or something. So it's hard to say, right? But I didn't know that about the pass defense for Ohio State. So, man, I'm just like, Josh Gattis, just get creative, put your weapons out there, and let's just go nuts. And we just need to get touchdowns, not field goals. That's pretty much my game plan.
Yeah, and I think, too, we definitely need to the way that Josh Gattis has been able to convert touchdowns in the red zone in the past two, three games has been gigantic. That's been no doubt, and you need to keep that going. You're not going to beat Ohio State with field goals, that's for sure. One thing with Josh Gattis on the offensive side of the ball that I'm curious to see, and I can see it going poorly, honestly, but I can also see it going well. It just depends on how it goes. That was like incredible analysis of that sentence right there.
Top tier this morning.
It could go bad, could go good. You just don't know.
Pat yourself on the back for that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Sound like me.
I think Michigan's going to want to run the clock to keep Ohio State off the field, right? They want to control the ball at all times. How I see that going poorly is Josh Gattis being too conservative with his play calling, trying to run it up the gut 100 times, and they're going to stop it. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, now what do we do? And then you're forced to play from behind. You're forced to throw the ball. You can't control the ball anymore, all that stuff. So it's going to be – Josh Gattis is going to have to have this perfect balance of being – creative and leaving the playbook open, taking shots downfield while still controlling the ball throughout the game. Because the last thing you want is CJ Stroud on the field for, you know, a long time in this game. And more importantly, CJ Stroud on the field, you know, making a big play, they go score. Michigan goes out, tries to run the ball, establish the run. They go three and out. Stroud's back on the field. That's how this Ohio State offense gets going. So I think that's going to be the key to Michigan's offense. Can they still keep that creativeness while they, you know, control the clock? So it'll be – I don't know, man. It'll be interesting. But would you guys have ever thought that going into the Michigan-Ohio State game in the Big Ten from scoring offense, Michigan's offense would be second to Ohio State? They're 1-2 in scoring offense. I mean, I would have never thought that, honestly.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, I think as Michigan fans, we definitely need to tell ourselves or remind ourselves, especially today, how thankful we are for this team.
Way to tie in the holiday. I love it.
Right. Like, I mean, if you told me in August, yeah, we're going to be 10-1 with the second offense going into Ohio State, I would tell you to get out of my house because you're a crazy guy. Like, what the heck? So, I mean, honestly, no matter what happens, I am very proud of this team and very proud of this program.
Yeah, man, it's been it's awesome for sure. I think, you know, we said it earlier. I think we said it after the Maryland game. You know, we whatever happens on Saturday, obviously we all want to win the game, and obviously we're going to be disappointed and pissed if we don't. But I think you do have to give credit to what Jim Harbaugh and this program and team has done this year. And I don't want this, you know, what I've seen from the past is like, you lift guys like Aiden Hutchinson up forever and ever. Like, he's the guy until they lose this game. And then, like, he's worthless. I do think these guys are setting a standard for this program for the future. And so that's where I want to still, you know, love these guys. This offense is going to be back next year. Cade McNamara is going to be back. JJ is going to be back. So, you know, yes, we're focused on this game. The expectation is to win, but I'm just pumped to be in this situation, you know? So it's going to be exciting. All you can ask for is going into the last game of the year with a chance to still win the Big Ten. Right. And so when you think about it, they do have all their goals ahead of them, which is exciting as hell. I mean, man, it just feels like, you know, look at the path. I don't want to look too far down the road, but you win this game, all of a sudden you're in the Big Ten championship game. You might play Cincinnati in the college football playoff game if you get there. Like, there's a legitimate chance if you win this game that you're playing for a national title against Georgia or Alabama, which is insane to think about. If you would have told me that, you know, just like you just said, Kalen, at the beginning of the year, I would have told you you're high. Like, it's insane, dude. So, hey, you know, whether we can actually win this game or not, we'll see on Saturday. But they've come a long way from where we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, like we said earlier in the episode, take this all in and enjoy it. For the people that are just looking for the negatives coming out of this game, think about what we just talked about and what could happen this weekend. There's just so much excitement around that. And I'm pumped, man. You're right. If we can beat Ohio State, I'd assume that's a basic, pretty much guaranteed victory in the Big Ten title game. And then you're going to the playoff. And you have a legit opportunity to make it to the national title game. How insane is that?
That is insane.
Oh, my God.
Be thankful for what you have. You could be giving James Franklin 100 million.
That is true. Very, very true. Oh, man. By the way, are you guys going to be able to sleep for the next 2 days? I don't know if I'm struggling already.
I don't know, man. I think Friday night is going to be tough. I'll be very excited. Tonight
Today
should be okay,
we're going to get
because I'm just
going to
stuff my face. Yeah. Absolutely. But no, I'm with you. I think Friday's going to be tough, man. I'm excited. I'm real excited for this day. Tailgating, the game, all of it, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
I was talking to Caleb Martin too. One of our listeners. And he had a baby boy. He said his baby boy has not slept all week. He slept poorly.
Oh, God.
I was just like, dude, he's already invested in the game. His nerves are going. You know, he's about a month old and not even, and he's already, you know, thinking about it. So I thought that was pretty funny. But speaking of, you know, stuff in your face, do you want to go around and do a little snake draft for Thanksgiving meals?
Yes, let's do it. I've been looking forward to this all day.
All right.
Justin, do you know what a snake draft is yet?
For any of you out there that just started listening to us, there was a moment. When was that? Last year at some point?
Probably last year, yeah.
We were trying to do a snake draft, and Jack had no idea what was going on.
No clue.
So we'll try and get it going today. All right, you want to start us off since this was your idea?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go, what do you think, five rounds? Let's go five rounds.
Five rounds, all right.
So, pick number one, and this might be a shocker to you guys, but I'm going ham. Thanksgiving dish,
right,
number one right. pick is ham, not a big turkey guy.
Wow, you know, I mean, that's a little, like, devilish. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think you can do that, but
I think more people I think more people than you realize do this. I'm curious to see. I want to put this up on social media later and see what people think about our list. But ham, that's my number one pick, man. I love ham. Christmas, that's why I like Christmas over, at least the meal over Thanksgiving, is because it's like ham is like the normal what you eat, right? Like for me, I love
Easter?
Ham.
A nice Easter ham.
Yeah. Any excuse to eat ham, I'm all there. I'm there for it.
Christmas, I do the prime rib.
Oh, I'm jealous. We do flank steak on Christmas too. Yeah. I'm with you. I would say ham is better than turkey. But am I next? I was just gonna go jump in and go. Yeah. All right. I am gonna go cheesy potatoes.
Ooh.
I am a firm believer that like anything out there. You can have the worst meal ever, but if you have good cheesy potatoes, people are going to be like, all right, this was a good meal.
Okay. I'll disagree, right. But okay.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. I'm going to go my first pick, stuffing. Some good stuffing is always like one of the first things I put on my plate.
That was going to be my next pick. All right, Kim.
That's a good one.
Back to you. Second round. What do you got?
Second round. I'm going with the baked mac and cheese.
Oh, okay,
that's a good one.
That's a great one. Are you a mac and cheese guy that is like just the mac and cheese, or do you give like a little like topping to it and it's a little crunchy on the top?
That's why I like the baked mac and cheese. It kind of gets that like crisp cheese layer on top. It's not like soupy mac and cheese, you know?
I like that.
I'm a connoisseur, like if you can't tell.
I'm with that.
I guess I'm just a potato guy because I'm going to go just with mashed potatoes on this side. Just like the classic mashed potatoes with a good gravy. I just feel like it is. That's what I feel like you can deal with some dry turkey if you have some good potatoes.
You gotta smother it like a KFC. Smother it with bowl.
Yes, exactly. Maybe even just like stir it up, mash it all together.
Kalen, since you took stuffing, I'm gonna have to go with a nice green bean casserole.
There you go. I feel like that's an underrated one. I think
it is, man.
Like. It's something, it's not something that people are like, yeah, that's my favorite thing, but you're always going to grab it, right?
Yeah. This next one might be, right. Yeah. This next one might be controversial, but cranberry sauce. I love some cranberry sauce, especially like even with stuffing, mixed in with the stuffing.
Ooh. Yep. Now you do out the can, homemade. What's the.
Ooh, can.
Oh man, you gotta get
what am I an animal?
An animal? You think people are animals for making their own cranberry sauce?
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's
disgusting. Look at that can. I want that thing to just slide out slowly and then just land on my plate.
You're insane. You're insane. That was wild. Oh. That was wild. You know, since it hasn't been taken now, I think I gotta go turkey. I don't think it's this far down on the draft. I think it's still up there.
That is wild. It made it to the third round.
You talked about it, and then we forgot about it. I
think. It's a classic. It's right in the middle, right? So perfect.
All right, Kalen, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going with the candied sweet potato.
Ooh, yep.
There you go. There you go. Potatoes are – Thanksgiving is a very heavy potato meal.
It is. Very heavy.
It is. All right, what you got next? Round four.
Oh, man. You guys probably don't have this one on there, but I'm going with the collard greens. Got to have the collard greens on your plate.
Collard greens.
Why would we not have that on there?
Yeah. Why would you say that?
I don't know, man. That's just me.
Sounds about
I'll be honest. I don't know if I have ever had collard greens, so I am fitting into your.
I don't know if I have either.
Stereotype here.
Yeah,
but I'll be open to try them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Are we invited to the cookout?
I'll bring them to the tailgate.
All right.
So we're not invited to the cookout. Kaylin's like, I'll come to you guys.
He's like, yeah, I can't bring you around my people.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. All right, I'm going to go a little off the wall here. A nice pumpkin craft beer.
Okay. Yeah, that's allowed. A
little craft
beer. Beer should definitely be on here.
Beer should be on the list. I mean, I think if you are like at your family Thanksgiving and you're like, I don't know about you guys, but usually, and my parents are probably listening to me because I'm in their basement recording this, but like you're like, all right, you're just waiting for the moment. Like, all right, when can I crack a beer? Like, it's 10:30 a.m. You know, we're hanging around. Is it time yet? Or like, do I have to wait for the Lions to start? Like, I don't know. I'm just sitting around. Like, I've opened the fridge 6 different times.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, you walk in, you scope out the scene. Like, is anybody else drinking? Like, can I grab one? I'm just like, especially when Heather and I first started dating, I'd be like, kind of look around, see if anybody else is drinking. Now it's just like, as soon as I walk in the door, just crack it open.
Yep.
Let's get this going.
No shame anymore.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God. So, okay. I'm going to follow your route there, Ro. I'm going to go with a nice bourbon.
Ooh,
a little bourbon.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. All right.
Well,
it goes back to me. Whoa. Snake draft.
Kaylin. Snake draft.
Jeez. All right. And then I will end it, at least mine, with a pumpkin roll.
A pumpkin roll? What is
you ever
a pumpkin
had those? Roll? Oh my God. I remember the first time I had it. We had a Friendsgiving back at the trap house. And our buddy Will, his now wife Kelsey, they brought it. First time I ever had it. It's incredible. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like pumpkin bread rolled in cream cheese or something.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it is incredible. You need to have a pumpkin roll. But that would be my final pick of the draft.
Can we just keep going? Because I got like 3 more.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling.
All right. So one, I will just say just a nice like Hawaiian roll with butter. Warm roll. Like, oh my God. I honestly, if there was nothing else in just that, like I'd be okay with just eating that, to be honest.
The King's Hawaiian rolls, dude. They're the best. Those two. So I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
Kaylin?
Yeah. I mean, I'm obligated now. So I have to go with the slice of apple pie. A little bit of like one little scoop of ice cream on there.
Oh yeah. What about some whipped cream too?
You can put it on there and I'll eat it. I'm not mad.
Are you guys a Cool Whip or Ready Whip people?
I think I'm a Cool Whip person.
Cool Whip's like the scoopable, Ready Whip's like the shake.
I think I'll take either, to be honest. But
yeah, I'll take either.
I used to eat that shit like ice cream when I was a kid. Cool Whip, like
just a whole bowl of Cool Whip.
Yeah, dude. No shame.
That's
no
outrageous.
Shame. I loved it.
That is outrageous.
I would probably do that like now, but Heather keeps it in the freezer, so it's not the right consistency, and she'd probably just divorce me on the spot. So
I was just gonna say, Heather really needs to keep you under wraps over there. It's
it's getting out of control.
Keep to the basement with your Cool Whip. Don't let her see.
Without her supervision, you're just going to be, you know, it's like 9 a.m. She comes down, you're eating a bowl of, are you eating bowl of Cool Whip?
Oh, my God. Kaylin, do you want me to, are we going to allow apple pie and ice cream as one?
I was thinking that.
Or
I was
that
like,
that's separate. That's fine. All right, Kaylin, now you got to do another one.
That was, yeah, go ahead.
Gosh, that wasn't five. What the hell?
I've got one.
Well, we're gonna keep going. So you gotta do one, Kaylin. We're doing one more round, or more.
Okay. I usually have a nice IPA before I even start eating. And one is an understatement, but I'm going with one.
What's the choice? What choice?
Usually, like not picky, but like some Oktoberfest, you know, something in that vein.
Okay.
And Oktoberfest is an elite. Yeah, definitely an elite one.
Great fall beer.
Yep. I'm going to go with a nice leftover ham or turkey sandwich on the rolls from earlier. So you bring it all back out for like a dinner, late night snack type of thing, you know, heat it back up. It's almost better than the original meal is the leftover sandwich that you make.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. It's like rolling around like 6 o'clock. You're starting to get your second wind. Heat the meat up and throw it up on a roll. Mm.
Yep. You're like six IPAs deep at that point.
Oh, so
you're
my
shoving
God.
Shoving your face with food.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What's the last one? I already got pumpkin roll. I'm going to say corn. Wait, do we have gravy on here? Gravy. I'm saying gravy.
Oh,
there you go.
I was going to say corn, like in terms of a Mr. Irrelevant pick, the last pick of the draft, corn would be perfect.
Corn would be perfect.
Like, no, it's just kind of there, you know, nobody's like, wow, I really love this corn, but it's, you know, you have to have it because it's like part of the meal, you know? Yeah. So.
Also random thing that I wanted to talk about since we're talking about food.
Go for it.
What is the deal with jelly? Why is jelly still a thing? Jam is available. Who buys jelly over jam? I don't understand. Can anybody explain this to me?
You know the difference between jelly and jam?
I do. But this is a family podcast, so we can't say that. But jam's easy to spread. You know, jelly, it's like it'll like rip your bread apart and shit. Because I eat that white bread. Like the wheat bread's too tough. I guess you could use jelly on wheat bread. But I like my country buttermilk, so I have to use the jam. Anybody listening, Wonder if you have bread. The answer to this, please let us know.
Let us know.
Just lighten up Dex DMs with all the jelly eaters.
Big foodie. Yeah. Big foodie over here. I like food. That's what I bring to the podcast.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is our Thanksgiving dish snake draft. So it is I hope you all have a good day. I hope you all eat a ton of food, drink some beer. Enjoy your family. If you have to go like to some in-laws or something, God bless you. You know, I know that's tough. Just start drinking early and keep drinking late. You know, don't get into politics. Don't get into politics. Don't get into, you know, anything like that. Talk about football. Talk about how bad the Lions are. You know, that's always everyone's on board with that, so you can't go wrong. Talk about, you know, you can talk about the game. If you have in-laws that are Ohio State fans, leave immediately and go back home. But, you know, with after today, we are 100% focused on the game Saturday. Positive vibes only. We're going to enjoy the day. It's going to be a heck of an environment. I'm excited, man. This is going to be, you know, it's coming down to it, going to be one of the most fun days and most important days in the Big House in a long time. So enjoy it. We'll, you know, whether you're watching from home, whether you're watching from the bar, whether you're watching in the Big House, you know, let's keep the energy up. I'm excited for it. And we'll leave you with just one Ted Lasso quote. Believe. You can follow us at BlueBy90 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Amazing Brew on YouTube. And with that, we say go blue and beat Ohio.
Go blue.
Go blue.